Welcome to the podcast of Radius Church. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
District Youth Director, along with being the youth pastor at First Assembly of God here in town, and Alicia was the administrative assistant for our network office, and God called them to the mission field. Margo has been a missionary for 10 years, the past six. She has been in Scotland, and then God began to work on Alicia's heart, and 3 years ago, she joined her in Scotland. And they're in the town of, I got to say this right, Edinburgh. If you look on the map, it looks like Edinburgh. Don't say that, okay? They'll probably string you up like they did on that movie Braveheart, so. But it's Edinburgh, and they are assisting a church plant and also doing a coffee bar community center to reach the community because Scotland, like much of Europe, where the cathedrals were once filled with people worshiping God, are now empty. And they have lost sight of relationship. They only see God as being a religion or even not even in existence any longer. And so they are ministering in a very dark, very hard place because they're like, we've been there, we've done that. And so this morning, I'd like you to help me in welcoming the Rhea twins, and Alicia's coming first.
Awesome. Good morning. It is great to be here. It's great to see you. Some familiar faces and some new ones. It's wonderful. Just a question. How many of you guys have ever been to Scotland or have Scotland ancestry in your blood? Absolutely. Yes. If you guys don't know Scotland history, years and years ago, well, sort of William Wallace's time, right, in that time, a third of Scotland men were shipped to the Americas. So that's one of the reasons why we have so much Scottish blood in us. Margo and I took a DNA test, and we were shocked. We were like 8-9% Scottish. Who knew? We had no clue. So yes, we are actually the first twins that AGWM have actually sent over together, and they've been nothing but awesome and working with us. And that opens a lot of doors. There's a lot of conversations that happen in supermarkets, bus stations, things like that, because we're twins. And so that's been actually a pretty cool thing, right? So before I get started, we have to say, please stop by our table. We have our prayer cards. Prayer is the most important thing that you could ever do to help us out. We need the prayer, and we have our faces on there so you can remember, put them in your Bible or whatever you need to do to pray for us. We would love for you to stop by and do that. And we thank you, Pastor, for allowing us to be here. It's just, it's amazing to be back to home. We've lived in Wyoming longer than any other place we've ever lived, and so it's an honor to be here. So a few things about Scotland. Now, if you guys have heard this before, just go along, act like you've never heard it before, and it would make me happy, okay? All right, Scotland, the national animal, okay? On the count of three, if you guys know what it is, yell it back to me. 1, 2, 3. Yes, it's the unicorn, absolutely. It is one of the only countries in the world that, there's a few others. I believe Wales has a dragon, go UK. But that is a mythical creature. Now, it was not the glittery pink purple unicorn that we have here, right? The unicorn in Scotland has fangs, claws, breathes fire, and is fierce, unpredictable, and never dies, right? So it is all over the place, all right? So the national flower of Edinburgh, anybody know? Thistle, yes. We hate them here, right? We're like, get them out of here. Those are horrible. But in Scotland, they love them. And the story goes, is years and years and years and years ago, the Vikings came to Scotland, and they were going to take over the Scottish people in the middle of the night barefoot. So that way they couldn't, so the Scottish people wouldn't be able to hear them coming. Well, Scotland is absolutely covered in thistles. So what happens when you go in the middle of the night, you can't see, your barefoot in a field full of thistles? There's lots of screaming and yelling, right? So that allowed the Scotland people to be able to gather themselves up enough in the middle of the night, get out of bed, gather themselves, and they were not conquered by that. So they love the thistle. So if you ever go to Scotland, now that you know unicorns and thistles are a big thing, you will start noticing unicorns and thistles engraved, carved, painted, and bordered on everything, right? Everything is there. If you think about the unicorn and the thistle, they're beautiful, they're unpredictable, and they're a little prickly. And for us, that describes the Scottish people perfectly. They're beautiful, they're amazing, but they can be a little prickly, right? And I mean, we all can be that a little bit. But we love the Scottish people. And for those of you who have not heard this before, a few things that the Scottish people have brought us is penicillin. You guys, you know, so if you are sick and you get some antibiotics, you're probably glad for some penicillin, right? The telephone, he was a Scotsman. He actually grew up and lived in Edinburgh, and they have restaurants named after him and everything, and he grew up just a couple blocks from where we lived. Of course, kilts, golf, bagpipes, all those things, haggis, all that's from Scotland. But the thing I love the most that Scotland has brought the world, okay, so is the flushing toilet, right? Yep. So a Scottish man invented that, and we thank Scotland for that today. All right. And one of the things that Scotland sometimes could be known for is maybe some famous preachers years and years and years ago. But I'm here to tell you that they did more, and God used them in mighty ways, but it was mainly outside of their country and not in the country of their birth for the most part. Scotland is not a Christian nation. It is considered a secular nation. And I have a sample here for you. And if you guys have seen this before, great, so at least you can see it again. But it might be a little hard to see, but this, there's 150 puffballs in here, okay? And the black puffballs represent those who do not know Christ, and the white puffballs represent Christians. In Scotland, it is 2% or less that actually believe and live for Christ. So how many of you guys in your Christian walk came to know Christ because someone else in your life was an influence on you, another living, breathing person? My parents, my grandparents, my teacher, my friends, they all influenced me. This represents a Scottish person can go their entire life and never meet a living, breathing person. A living, breathing example, as I was going to say, of Christ. And all of us were impacted by someone living, breathing, right? God, his plan for this world is this world is going to be touched by him, for him, by his church, by you and me, by living, breathing disciples, examples, walking this earth. And a Scottish person can go their entire life and never meet one of those. So it's dire, but I'm telling you, it's not as dire as you think, because God is bigger than that. He is a big God, and he has sent us over there because we are believing that this is going to be a container full of white puffballs and not black in the name of Jesus, right? So that is why we are going over there. So we know the where, we know the why, and so now I'm going to explain a little bit of what and how we are doing this. All right, the first term we are over there, we have helped with the church plant called Bridge Family Church. And in the first slide that I have up here, this is just a little bit of a list of what we did. As church plants, as you guys know, you do everything from teaching, preaching, worship, kids, cleaning toilets. We did tons of outreaches. Our Easter outreach is one of the most effective things. We proclaimed the gospel in the middle of the streets, and hundreds of people were there, and God was proclaimed. We thank God for that. We did everything for Bridge, for the church. We also decided we needed, if we're going to be a part of this community, we better be a part of this community, right? So we did everything. Margo was a tour guide to St. Giles, and in our video that's coming up, the first full thing that you see, St. Giles Cathedral, is Margo was a tour guide there. Great connections to this day. Continue to pray for those. It's amazing things. We helped at a place with adults with special needs that we did the disco every week. So that's, you know, it's not, we weren't like discoing, but we were, it was like, they call it a disco. It was a lot of fun. And we took a meal to an older gentleman every week and sat with him. And then we also just went all over the city and got to know a lot of people. So we established ourselves in that. So go to the second slide. Our next term, we will be running, and it is a miracle of God. We found out literally November, December, that we are going to have access to this building underneath. So on top is our church, where our church meets, and on the bottom, that door, is going to be our church cafe. In a city that does not know God and will not step foot in the church, they will go for coffee and they will go for treats. And in a place with no, there's really is no yards or anything like that for families. So if you want a birthday party for your kid or meet someplace, you will go to community center. You rent out a room or you meet someplace else. And we will be the community center that community will use, and it will be Christ-centered. And they'll be able to meet God there, and we are praising God for this opportunity. It is being remodeled right now by our fellow missionaries, and then Margo and I will be in charge of stocking and running and everything that has to do with the cafe. So that is what we're going to do. So we're going to play a video for you. It's going to show some pictures of our last term and also explain a little bit more about our cafe, and then Margo's going to come and bring you the word. Like bagpipe music. How many of you guys hate it? That's right. believe it or not, there are bagpipes on the corner quite a lot. And in fact, at one point I lived next to a bagpipe player, and he would practice on the balcony. So we're like, well, thank goodness he was a good one and not a beginner. So that was a lot easier. But he literally would serenade the entire neighborhood. And it was great. It was great. So thank you again. My name is Margo. I am the older sister of Alicia. We joke about it, but so God, when he brought us together, it was really a struggle. Because we had lived, even though we ministered here in Wyoming a lot, but we lived apart for years and years and years. And how many of you guys know when you live by yourself, you get used to doing things by yourself? and how you do things. Like, are you going to wash the dishes that way? Why are you doing it that? And so as sisters, it was a little bit more at war against each other, which way was better than the other. But one thing, too, is that growing up, my parents used to say, you guys are the same, not one of you is older or younger. So we decided to take a quiz or a test on birth order, right? And so we're like, we're going to just blow all the traditional stuff out of the water. Well, I am definitely textbook older sibling, and she is textbook younger sibling. And we just found that even we're 6 minutes apart. My parents did not know that they were having twins until we were born. But my dad prayed for us. I know some of you know the story, but he wanted twins. And even before my mom was pregnant, he announced to the whole world, we're having twins. And my mom would be like, Eli, shut up. I'm not even pregnant yet. You got to calm down. So actually when we were born, because even my mom was in the hospital a full month before we were born, still just one baby and everything. So when actually we were born and dad called everyone, they didn't believe him. So my mom had to call everyone again because they thought he was joking. But when God called us, it was one of those things that we really had to struggle with. But that being said, I'm glad that she is with me. Like she said, it opens up things, but we also have to be very careful because everyone remembers us for some reason. And so we'll be in a place, 6 months later, they'll be like, oh, welcome back. So we have to be careful with everything that we say and do. But that's quite fun. But it has been an honor to be part of missions for 10 years. Before that, actually, I was counting. I've been here in Wyoming off and on for 23 years. And when we say we come home to Wyoming, it's the truth. I came here, I think I was 21 years old. And so it's just one of those things. I grew up in front of the Wyoming pastors. And it's just been a great privilege. But 10 years I've been part of the mission field. And I see the people in the world where I travel, even here. And I see the love of God. And I see missions. In every place I go. Walking out this front door, I see missions. And missions is greater than us, and it's greater than you. And I know you've heard this over and over and over again in the church. But my prayer this morning is not only that you hear it again, but that your heart opens up to what God's vision and God's heart for the person sitting next to you is. Maybe your family, maybe your coworkers that you do not get along with. God has a plan for their life. And missions is this, is I know that it's the heart of God because the Bible is written so that we as his people and creation know that he loves us so much that he wants to spend eternity with us and provided a way through Jesus. And I know that his heart is this, that every single person on this planet know that he loves them, know that he has a plan for them, and they don't have to stay where they are in all their stuff that we deal with. And he wants to know that there's an eternity for them that is beyond what this world can offer. Because how many of you guys know this world is not what I want for the rest of my life, for eternity? I don't want this. But we, as children of God, as people who say we are Christians or Christ followers, we have a choice with how we live our life so that the rest of the world knows who he is. And that's missions. Missions is telling the world they are loved. It's sometimes we're called to different places. That's what this whole missions thing is. When you hear missions, it's some of us are called to different parts of the world. Like Malisha and I. That was a huge long process, and we don't have time to get into that right now. But maybe some of you feel that tug too, and if you do, talk to me afterwards. But I want to talk to you today about the missions, about where you are right now. The people that are around you, the people that need to know that Jesus is there. And it's one of those things how we live our life reflects Christ. And part of the missions is this. How you react should be different. How we speak should be different. That's how people see Jesus. Now, every time I preach this, it is very convicting to me, because how many of you guys have an issue with driving sometimes and people getting you angry? Yes. Like, I-80 will definitely make me want to lose my salvation at times, right? But how I react to things, I tell Alicia this too, I'm like, I shouldn't have done that. And it's not like they can hear me, but I just get so mad. I'm like, and another pet peeve of mine is blinkers. Use your blinkers, right? I could have taken a right if you would have had your blinker on, right? And it's not like they can hear me, but if they did, that wouldn't have been a great example of Jesus right at that moment, right? But even how we treat people reflects Christ. And how we complain maybe sometimes reflects Christ. How we don't complain reflects Christ. Words, actions, all those things. Missions is involved with all of that. Because as Christians, as Christ followers, our life reflects Christ. And while we have been involved with so many things, what we do outside of here matters. And as missions, what we do is we live our life according to what Christ has called us to do. And I have a few verses I'm going to speak on. If you guys want to turn to, or I think it's also up on the screen, but Jeremiah 17, 5 through 8. So I love trees. How many of you guys love trees? I love trees, yes. So we grew up, even though we lived here for so long, we grew up on the Oregon coast, like literally right on 101. Has anybody ever driven that road? Yeah, it's beautiful. It's just a lot of trees. And we were there just a few months ago. My mom is going through cancer for the third time. So we came off the field a month early to be with her through her chemo treatment. Please pray for her. She is still having a lot of complications, and she may be facing surgery again this next couple weeks. But we were there a little bit early this February. Time is going crazy. So February. But we were walking along this trail next to the Oregon coast, and stuff falls into the ocean a lot. I don't know if you know this, but even like roads will fall into the ocean. But there is this cliff that had fallen off next to this trail that we were on. And this tree was literally hanging like this out of the cliff. And I was like, whoa. I thought for sure when I looked it was going to be dead. But it wasn't. It was thriving. It was green. It was blossoming. It was just gorgeous. And I, at the time, the Holy Spirit kind of, because I was praying about what I was going to be speaking on, and the Lord just kind of dropped in my mind, that's you. That's what I'm asking the church to be. It is the most uncomfortable position, but it was thriving. And as Christians, we live in a world that is not comfortable. We are asked to believe in things that we do should not believe in. We're asked to walk paths that we don't want to walk. But yet, we should be thriving because we're with Jesus Christ. And a tree reminded me of this. And I'm going to read this portion of scripture, and I'm going to point out a couple things. It says, this is what the Lord says. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength, who turn their hearts away from the Lord. They're like stunted shrubs in the desert with no hope for the future. They will live in the barren wilderness in an uninhabited salty land. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They're like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. If you're not familiar with this portion of scripture, this is God speaking to Judah, which is his people. And if you don't know this portion, the people, they run from God, they run to him, they forget him, they repent, they run away. It's just this whole constant process. And there's a reason we read all these stories. It's not just so we can have great Sunday school or great, we could preach about it all the time. It is because it's supposed to be a lesson for us in what not to do or to do in our relationship with God. And this portion of scripture is very clear of how we are supposed to live our life. And the first portion is this. This is what the Lord says. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength and turn their heart away from the Lord. They're like stunted shrubs in the desert with no hope for the future. They will live in the barren wilderness and in uninhabited salty land. The first thing I want to ask and to just point out is, where do you put your trust? Because where we put our trust matters. When I read this, I see missions. Good missionary. Of course I would say that. But look at the world around us, like I said. Where have most of the people put their trust in the world? Yeah, they put it in themselves. They've put it in a government. They've put it in a person. They've put it in a program, whatever it might be. They have put trust in the creation of the Creator, expecting them to be as powerful as the Creator, and get mad and jaded when it's not the Creator. Let me repeat that again. They put their trust in the creation of the Creator, expecting them to be as powerful as the Creator, and get mad and jaded when it doesn't work. We cannot put trust in the creation when there's a Creator that we can put our trust in. And no human will ever live up to the love and power of God. And yet we really expect them to give us the peace and hope only found in Jesus. And we see that so much in Scotland. I have friends in Scotland who are putting their trust in the government that is not God, in people that will always let them down, in situations that will not bring them peace. The country, I don't know if you've been following the UK, but it is falling apart. The government's falling. They've called a general election, which never happens. Okay, and it's causing chaos. And what that means is the government is basically being a bully to the people, saying, yeah, go ahead, vote us out. Right? Our first minister resigned again in Scotland. It's just on and on and on. There's strikes going on. I don't know if you know, so almost all the public places are run by the government. So they all decided, because the cost of living is going up, they all decided to go on strike. So we actually have a schedule for the whole month of what services are going to be on strike. And when I say services, I mean teacher, trash, doctors, nurses, train, which the whole society runs on trains. Like a lot of people, if you were going to work, you'd ride the train to work or the buses. Bus system, everything is going on strike. So you have to plan your day according to if you can actually go see the doctor for the next 6 weeks. The average ambulance is up to 17-hour wait to get an ambulance. So everything, this stuff is falling apart. But, there's Jesus. And we as Christians in our hearts, as we work in Scotland, is to give people the only true hope in Jesus. And like the scriptures say, those who turn their backs on Jesus are like shrubs. They don't bloom. But we are believing and praying that not only Scotland, but you will bloom and grow because you put your trust in Jesus. The UK also is now ranked the second most miserable country in the world, with Uzbekistan being the only country lower. And there are many reasons for that, but the main thing is that they're relying on themselves to make everything better. And there's no rules. There's no morals really over there. And it isn't working. They're sad. They're so sad because what they thought was going to fix them isn't. Jesus is needed, and why we are called there. Jesus is needed in Casper. That's why you're called here. And being honest is hard and worth it. But the question that I have to ask, I ask myself this every single time I preach this. And it's not pretty sometimes. But where are you putting your trust? Where are you putting your reliance upon? Because I know every single person in here walked in with something. Because life is hard, isn't it? You deal with loss. You deal with money issues. You deal with relationship issues. And life is hard. But I just want to encourage you to speak into your life saying, God sees you. He loves you. He has a plan for you. Trust in him. It may look ugly for a while because sometimes we have to deal with some things. But trusting in Jesus is beautiful because there's peace when there shouldn't be peace. There's joy when there shouldn't be joy. There is miracles when people look at your life and go, I don't understand that. One of the stories that I love in my life is my daddy. And some of you have heard that. My dad is a crazy little Mexican. And he was in the Vietnam War. He came back from the Vietnam War, not the same person. He decided that he was going to, he said, I wanted to kill myself. So he was drug addict, alcoholic, did all the bar scene, slept with a whole bunch of women. And then one day he got in a bar fight and he was in a coma for a month. During this time, by the way, my mom was going to church with his sister. And his sister asked for prayer. My mom, I remember thinking, oh, I'm so glad I don't have to marry him. Surprise! But after he comes out of the coma, he actually told God, he goes, I'm going to give you 6 weeks. If you don't change, if nothing happens, I'm going to die. He was instantaneously healed and delivered and all that stuff. But I know, it is amazing. I know not everyone goes through that. But what I'm saying is, he raised two girls that absolutely loved Jesus. And when everyone told him, he was worthless. That is God. We all walk through things, and there's nothing too difficult for him. There's nothing too ugly for him. He loves you. He wants what's best for you. Where are you putting your trust? The next thing I want to talk about is this. Trusting in Jesus is eternal. This verse says, but blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They're like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. What a comforting thought. So this picture right here of this tree, this is not just random tree. This is Margot's tree, right? This tree is, you could see the stone stairs coming down there. Well, right in the middle of Edinburgh is a river. When I say river, it would be a stream, but it's their river. And there used to be a whole bunch of mills and stuff on there, but just a few feet away from this tree is what used to be what I would call a modern Starbucks, right? It was where all the rich people would come and they drink the water, which is disgusting. But in, I look at them like, they did what? People didn't die? But so this tree is in the middle of stones. And every time I go by there, I've taken pictures of it in winter, fall, summer, spring, because there's this tree that brings beauty in the middle of stone. And every time, again, the Holy Spirit would talk to me and go, are you being a tree, Margot? And all the stone and all the gray, because almost people who always come to Edinburgh say everything looks the same after for the first 2 days. Are you being the tree? Well, people will come and actually have picnics underneath that tree. They come and have coffee. I've had lunch underneath that tree. Are you being the tree? Because trust in Jesus is eternal. What a comforting thought, right? That when we trust in Jesus, there is nothing, nothing more eternal than that. It is when we are rooted in Jesus that we can grow and we can flourish and we impact the world around us in beautiful ways. A flourishing tree brings beauty and life to this world, and we as followers of Christ can impact this world in beautiful ways. One of the greatest women I've ever met is actually little Mary in Scotland. She was in a couple of the pictures there. She was a baby during the London Blitz during World War II.
And actually, she was the bomb hit her building and actually collapsed on top of her. But because she was a baby, her bones didn't break, and so because they weren't mended together, and she survived. Well, then she was shipped off to Scotland because she was in London. You know, like Lion, Witch, and Wardrobe, and they would send off all the children to protect them. And she was sent to Scotland. Well, the Scotland family that she was placed into wasn't very nice. And then after the war, her mother decided she didn't want to have any children. So she basically just abandoned her and ignored her. And so she stayed with this family that wasn't very nice. She grew up and she married a man that wasn't very nice. And she had children who weren't very nice. And this whole time, she kept thinking, I'm worthless. I don't deserve anything. I am just nobody. But God. She found Jesus, and I have never seen anyone more rooted in Christ than her. She will sit there, if you're having a bad day, and she literally has dozens of journals that all she does is write scripture to remind herself who God is. And at bus stops, sometimes she's a little nervous at night, and she whips out her journal and she reads scripture out loud to remind herself who Jesus is. And she is one of the most transformed, amazing, beautiful women I've ever met in my life. She walks around and people actually stop her to talk with her in a city where nobody stops to talk to you because she is so transformed. Can you imagine our life if we allow God to transform us, if we put trust in God to transform us, where people will stop you and ask you, why are you so happy? What? I don't know why I'm drawn to you, but I just am. Putting trust in Jesus brings joy and beauty in this world. And I am challenging us as we look beyond what we feel and know, the truth that God loves you and wants what is best for you, and that you need to decide who and where your strength comes from. I am praying that in our impatience and pride, we do not miss the truth and power of Jesus. He wants what's best for you. And my goal in prayer, and when we travel this whole country sharing about Jesus, is not just about Scotland. What we want everyone to walk out, even if you've listened to maybe 5% of what I just said, what we in our heart is this, is that God loves you. He has a plan for you. Please trust him. Because when we trust him, not only our life changes, but the world around us changes. Because you see things differently. The perspective of your life changes. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to read a portion of scripture. And I just want you to think about it, because I didn't put it up there on purpose. I want you to just think about it for a second. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to have a moment of just prayer and reflection. It's not going to be weird, so don't worry about I'm not going to do something crazy. But I'm going to have a moment of reflection, because I really honestly believe that the Holy Spirit can meet you where you are right now. And like I said, we've all walked in here with something. We've all walked in here with relationship issues, financial issues, whatever it might be. And I'm going to give you a moment to put your trust in Jesus in those situations. Because I know sometimes when I get frustrated and frustrated, I tend to try and fix things on my own or try to think of how I could fix it. But we need to take a moment to put things in Jesus' hands. So I'm going to read this portion of scripture. It's Romans 10, 14 through 17. It says, but how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them about being without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. But not everyone welcomes the good news. For Isaiah the prophet said, Lord, who has believed our message? So faith comes from hearing, that is hearing the good news about Christ. How can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? Lord, I thank you so much for who you are. God, I thank you for each person that is in this room. God, you see every hair on our head. And we say that a lot, but Lord, I pray that right now that we would truly understand and know that you see us. Through the good, through the ugly, through the hard, through the easy, you want to live life with us. You want to live life with every Scots person as well. And Lord, I pray right now, as we just take a moment to reflect on who you are, I pray that we would be very honest in our spirit, in our minds, in our hearts, of where we have placed you. Putting trust in you can be very hard because we don't see the results right away. We don't see like what we want to see. And so, Lord, I pray right now that whatever situation we're going through, whatever circumstance we are living, I pray that we would take this moment, this few seconds that we have carved out of our day to be with you, to be with fellow believers, to lay those things at your feet, to give those things to you. I pray that we'd be honest, that we'd be real, and that we would be very genuine in giving you those things. So let's take just a moment to say, God, I trust you in whatever it may be. Jesus. God, I trust you in my mother's life that you would touch her body. Lord, I thank you that you see her and you know her. I just pray to you to wrap your arms around her right now. Just heal her body. God, we trust you in the healings that need to take place in this room. We just pray healing and wholeness right now in the name of Jesus. And we trust you with our lives. God, I just thank you, Lord, for relationships. But I pray, Lord, the relationships that are not of you, that we would trust you with those. That you would bring someone into your life that we can trust you with. Lord, with finances, God, we know that you can provide. So we trust you in our finances. We are obedient in what you've asked us to give. We are obedient in our lives. And so, Lord, we know that you are going to provide. God, I just pray, Lord, that whatever we are walking through today, that you would be glorified in our life, that we would trust you so that the people around us would know who you are. I pray for family members that do not know you. We just claim their souls for you, Jesus, in your name. For friends that don't know you, we trust you with their lives. And Lord, we trust you that we will be able to speak life into them and not death. That we'll be able to speak truth into their life and not complacency, but Lord, your truth and your love. We thank you, Jesus, for each person in this room. I pray for Radius, Lord, that the best is yet to come. And we say that, but Lord, we believe it. Because you are the God that is never, ever done with us. You don't just say, hey, you reached it, good job. And I just pray that Radius would become a beacon to this whole city. Knowing that they can find life here, that they can find love here, that they can know that there is nothing that God can't deal with here. And we just thank you for that, Jesus. We know that you have a plan and a purpose for anyone and everyone. And as we go through our life, that we would be changers in the situations that we're in. we trust you, God. And we thank you, Jesus, for who you are. You never, ever, ever let us down. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
You have been listening to the podcast of Radius Church in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please check us out at radiuschurch.live or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation.